If Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year in the Jewish calendar, the feast of Tisha B'Av, which Jews will observe next week, is the saddest day of the year. Tisha B'Av commemorates several national calamities in Jewish history, the very first being the twin disasters of the destruction of Solomon's Temple and the forced deportation of the Jews to Babylon in 586 BCE. To underscore the deep sorrow of this commemoration, Jews will observe a 25-hour fast beginning next Wednesday evening. In their liturgical service that day, they will read passages from the Book of Lamentations that recall those disasters. The Book of Lamentations is almost like a companion piece to the Book of Jeremiah, except that, rather than warning about the looming destruction of the temple and the Babylonian exile as Jeremiah does, Lamentations is a rueful reflection on the events once they had already taken place. Listen to how the Book of Lamentations opens. How lonely sits Jerusalem that was once full of people. How like a widow she has become, she that was great among the nations. Judah, that was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night, with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. That's the melancholy undertone that colors the feast of Tisha B'Av. In the Hebrew Bible, the title of the book is not Lamentations, but the simple word Eka, which means how. That interrogative particle is deliberately ambiguous. It simultaneously encompasses such questions as, how could these disasters have befallen us? As well as, how could God have allowed this to happen? And, how could we have acted so perversely as to bring on ourselves this misfortune? For a long time, Jeremiah has been considered the author of both books because there is such overlap in their themes. All the prophets we have read these past couple of weeks, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, and now Jeremiah, uniformly warn the Israelites of the dire consequences that would ensue if they failed to change their sinful ways. But only Jeremiah actually lived to see the twin calamities take place. In our Sunday liturgy, we don't read very often from the book of Jeremiah, and on the few occasions we do, the church tends to present us with some of the prophet's more soothing proclamations. Today's reading fits that pattern. Yahweh says, I will appoint over you shepherds after my own heart, who will shepherd you wisely and prudently. You will become prosperous and fruitful in the land. At that time, my people will call Jerusalem the place where Yahweh keeps his throne. There, all nations will gather to honor God's name. They will walk no longer in their hard-hearted ways. However, while it's true that God, through the mouth of Jeremiah, dispenses some few consolatory messages throughout this book, the largest share of Jeremiah's prophecies excoriate the unjust social behavior of the Israelites and their unfaithful worship of the gods of their pagan neighbors. And they unequivocally warn about the impending consequences should they not change their hearts. For instance, thus says the Lord, because you have not obeyed my words, I will set the king of Babylon against the land of Israel and its inhabitants. I will utterly destroy them and make them an object of horror and of hissing and an everlasting disgrace. I will banish from them the sound of gladness. This whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and these nations shall be slaves to the king of Babylon. As you might imagine, few people would relish bearing such menacing warnings to the powerful political and religious elites. Far from endearing their messenger, these searing reproaches would imperil his life. And so it's no surprise that we discover Jeremiah to be a most reluctant prophet. When God initially appoints him as his spokesperson, Jeremiah pleads inadequacy. Ah, Lord Yahweh, do not choose me. Truly, I do not even know how to speak, for I am a mere youth. However, that's not humility speaking there. It's cowardice. Unmoved, God insists, do not say I am a youth, for you will go to all whom I send you, and you will speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Nevertheless, Jeremiah was quite prescient about the dangers inherent in his mission. No other prophet is recorded as having experienced such contention and conflict with royal officials, priests, and other prophets, and even with his own hometown neighbors. At one point, his adversaries attempt to kill him by throwing him into a cistern and letting him starve to death. Is it any wonder, then, that Jeremiah raises his fist in protest against God? O Lord, you have enticed me, and I let myself be enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. The word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is like a burning fire shut up in my belly. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. But Jeremiah's despair is not the last word. He eventually recovers his conviction that the power of God's word will triumph, and he declares, "The Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause." For me, these readings from Jeremiah are far more than simple recollection of God's enduring tough love of the chosen people, as they themselves will commemorate next week at Tisha B'Av. Rather, for us Catholics, they pose some piercing questions, such as, is ours a prophetic church in the tradition of Jeremiah? Do we have the courage to stand with the voiceless and the vulnerable, and to speak as a church the hard truth to our national leaders about racism, immigration, and income equality? Do we have the integrity to stand with our disenfranchised sisters and to speak as the body of Christ the truth to our church leaders about women's legitimate call to ministry? Wrestling with these readings from Jeremiah over the next 2 weeks reminds me that acting prophetically is often uncomfortable. But if we don't speak God's truth to the powerful in our society, who will? And if we don't, why do we call ourselves disciples? If you'd like to know more about the upcoming Jewish fast day, Tisha B'Av, you might want to check out a link to a 4-minute YouTube video that I append to the written version of this homily. May God bless you and give you health.